Well, hi, Church. Thank you for checking in. I'm teaching here today out of Mark chapter 11, verse 27 through the end, through 33. We're finally going to be finished up with Mark 11. It's a big chapter, covered a lot in it. I am in my office today. Every Tuesday we do the homeschool club, and it's really exciting looking out my office window and seeing a whole bunch of homeschool families here. Just a lot of energy, excitement, joy going on. It's exciting to see. I was at the the local the Bermudian school board meeting last night, Monday night, and I shared there. There's just so much trouble right now going on, and I shared with the school board, as well as, you know, obviously everybody in attendance would have heard it too, that our church is seeing a huge increase in homeschool families. And that we are giving scholarships away with the intention of taking families out of the government school system. And we're doing scholarships to help them afford to be able to get out of the government school system, whether it's for private tuition at a private school or curriculum for homeschool, because we believe in this. We believe in a Christian foundation in their education, because the fear of God is the beginning of education. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 and Proverbs 1:7 say this, and the way I see it, knowledge and wisdom are education. So the fear of God is the beginning of education, and we have government schools that don't fear God, that don't pray, that don't teach the Bible, and in fact teach naturalism, which goes against the existence of God. So anyway, that's a total tangent, but it's exciting. And if you're watching the video and you're wondering why I have a blank wall behind me, and I think it affects the acoustics as well. If my voice has a weird tin to it or something, that's probably why. My office is not the best place for it. But it's better in here than it is out there where there's 50 kids all jibber-jabbering. Anyhow, sorry, that was a tangent, 2 minutes in. Mark 11, starting in verse 27, they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me." And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say it's from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we shall say he's from man," then they were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So that's the end of Mark 11. Now you notice a few things. They come to him saying, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Often when they come to him with a question, they're just trying to nitpick him. They're trying to catch him in a trap and everything else. But in this case, like, they have a sincere question. You just went into the temple and shut the whole temple down. What authority do you have to do that, buddy? That's a serious question you would ask if anybody tried that, right? And Jesus totally turned the table on them, and now he tricks them. He gets them in a trap by asking them a tough question, and they don't know how to answer it. "Well, I'll answer that question for you," Jesus says, "if you tell me what authority John the Baptist had. Was he from heaven? Was he a real prophet? Or was he just from man? Was he just some guy out preaching something?" And they're afraid to answer. If they say he's from heaven, Jesus will say, "Why didn't you listen to him? He told you who I was. He answered your question, 'By what authority do I do this?' He said, there's one coming who's mightier than I." That's Jesus. Okay? "Repent, the kingdom of God's at hand." There he is. The one that you see the Holy Spirit descending upon. That's the one. The voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son." If you believe John was from heaven, then you would believe Jesus was the son of God. And then you would know exactly what authority he had in cleansing the temple. You wouldn't even need to ask. So they can't say, "Oh, we believe John was a real prophet," because then it would point right back at them. But if they say, "We don't believe John's a real prophet," well, John had crowds of people gathering that thought he was. And now those crowds have gone to Jesus, because John said to go to Jesus. So they can't say John was just a human, because then the crowds would turn on them, and they're afraid. And I said this the other day as well. In Mark 11, there's another time they're afraid. Verse 18, they were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him because the crowd was astonished at his teaching. He had the crowds on his side, and they're afraid of him for that reason. These guys are operating in fear. They're acting like bullies and tough guys, and they're trying to make everyone else afraid of them. But they're doing it from a position of fear. Because when you don't fear God, you fear everything else. You're enslaved to fear at that point. The fear of God sets you free from all other fears. And that's a good way to tell if you have the fear of God. If you have the fear of God, then you don't have any fear of anything else. Straight up. So these guys don't have the fear of God. It's why they didn't believe in John the Baptist. It's why they don't believe in Jesus. It's why they're arguing with Jesus and trying to destroy him, because they don't fear God. If they feared God, they wouldn't be trying to destroy Jesus, right? Obvious. So they don't fear God, and therefore they fear everything else. They fear the people. They fear Rome. They fear all this kind of stuff. And that's why when they do come for Jesus, they do it in the middle of the night, because they're afraid. And so when you're operating in fear, you're going to make bad decisions. You got to love your enemies. This is stuff I covered Sunday. Man, I don't like preaching on love your enemies. That was like one of my least favorite sermons. I'm just being honest with you. Love your enemies is hard. Love your enemies is convicting. It's challenging. It is not a fun subject, especially when there are real enemies out there doing really bad things to people and threatening and bullying. So I'll challenge you deeper on that. Love your enemies in the name of Jesus, because Jesus loved his enemies, meaning me and you were his enemies. And he died for us, okay? But look, love your enemies doesn't mean compromise with them. Love your enemies doesn't mean you just pat them on the back and say, it's okay, I love you anyway. No, love your enemies. If they're doing something wrong, you have to say so, you have to stand against it, and you have to protect, you have to defend the innocent. There are good, righteous people out there that need to be protected from enemies, real, actual enemies that exist. And no, your war is not flesh and blood, but the flesh and blood people that are up to bad stuff need to be stopped, all right? And you need to do it in love. So anyway, that's side issue, but it's a core issue. You won't be able to love your enemies either if you fear them. You just won't be able to. So fear God. God's love, perfect love casts out fear. Now you're set free from your fear, and now you're filled with love. So now you're therefore going to be able to love your enemies. All right. So Jesus' answer to them is a trap. He traps them so that they say, "I don't know." And then Jesus says in the last verse, "Then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." The answer they give is contemptible. Okay, it would. Can you imagine being there? You're just infuriated. You're trying to get these guys to pin down on something reasonable, to come to the truth and recognize it, and they just won't. They're hard-hearted, and they will not accept it. Period. They just don't want to do it. If we say he's from heaven, then we have to do what he says. We don't want to do that, but we also don't want to say he's from man, because then we'll get in trouble for that. And so, I don't know. We haven't figured it out yet. Well, look. John the Baptist got beheaded. That's a really important thing that happened. That's a major injustice. And you haven't figured out if that was right or wrong yet? Come on, guys. This is contemptible. Get with the program. Get a backbone. Get some wisdom and get some courage. And do the right thing. But Jesus' answer, their answer to him is contemptible. It would drive me nuts. It would infuriate me. Jesus' answer, I don't know what tone of voice he said, but he's very dismissive. Well, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do it either. You wouldn't accept it if he did. If he said, I'm the Son of God, they would say, oh, blasphemy, kill him. And if he said, I do it by my own authority, they would say, well, you're not allowed to shut down God's temple by your own authority. That's blasphemy too. So no matter what he answers them here, the position they have put themselves in means that no matter what Jesus says, they're going to try to kill him, because that's their whole plan anyway. They're seeking a way to destroy him, that we saw already in this chapter. So Jesus' answer is dismissive. They dismissed him out of hard hearts. He dismisses them because they've already dismissed themselves. All right. I don't know what tone of voice he used with them. I don't know if it was a patient and compassionate a sigh of these guys just don't get it. I'm not going to be able to answer you guys. Sorry. You're missing a point. Or if it was a frustrated anger, righteous kind of anger. I don't know. But that's the position that's occurring here. These guys are giving a contemptible kind of answer. And Jesus, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine. Jesus at this point recognizes, look, these guys are so far gone, I can't answer them. I can't even tell them I'm the Son of God. On his crowning day of riding into Jerusalem, a triumphal entry and everything else. Even in the midst of all this, these guys, if they don't know it now, they're not going to know it. All they're shouting Hosannas and Son of David and miracles and healings. And we know from the other Gospels, like he's raised Lazarus from the dead recently. Like, come on. Get with it, guys. Wake up. All right. So there's a few lessons you can learn from this. Be patient and love your enemies. Be patient with them. You don't have to play their games. You don't have to fall into their traps. And you can confront them directly and do it. And do it with wisdom and do it this way. Now, if on the other hand, you're going to find yourself in a position sometimes where you're tempted to play these games that these scribes and elders are playing. The chiefs and scribes and the elders. You're going to be in a position sometime when you know what's right. And you know there's a situation and this is the right thing to do. And your problem is going to be courage, not necessarily wisdom. These guys' wisdom was false. They believed John the Baptist was not from God because they didn't want to obey him. So they had false wisdom. But they were smart enough to not answer the question. And that's what's contemptible about it. If they had just had the courage to answer Jesus what they really thought, yeah, we actually do think John was just a bad guy and he wasn't a real prophet. If they had actually had the courage to do that, there might have been a dialogue here. There might have been some sort of discussion. But they didn't have the courage to do that. They didn't have the courage to stand even on the principles that they did hold. Their principles might have been wrong, but at least they would have been principled people doing a principled thing. But they're unprincipled. They're not living by principle. They're not speaking truth. They're literally just trying to mess with Jesus and look for a way to destroy him. That's all they're trying to do. You need courage. You need courage to stand up for what is right. Sometimes you already have wisdom. And your problem isn't, I don't know what to do. Your problem is, I'm afraid to do it. All right? That's a lesson that I see here, and it's a lesson that I see we are in need of right now. There are major issues in all these big companies and in these schools and everything else, and in your personal life. There's issues in your marriage, and there's issues with your children that you know the right thing to do. If you're a manager at a business and you know the right thing is to keep your employees and not fire them over this, but you need courage to do that because that means standing up against something really scary. Or you know that your child who throws a tantrum every day about some topic, whatever, you know that that needs to be confronted, but it's a lot easier to just deal with it day to day. You know that your marriage is headed in the wrong direction. You know that you stopped praying together every day. You know that you're slipping and you're not in your Bible and you're not hungry for the Lord anymore. Your wisdom tells you that. You have the wisdom to know, hey, I'm doing this wrong. It's going to be a courage issue to turn it around and get it right. And if you don't have the courage, you are going to wind up like these Pharisees. Actually, I don't think it's Pharisees involved. It's chief priests, scribes, and elders. For some reason, we always lump Pharisees into that group. But in fact, oftentimes Pharisees were against them, and they were against, that's a different issue. if you know what is right and you have a principled issue in your life, then you need to stand for it, and you need to do what's right, even though it's hard. And you need to pray, God, I always pray for wisdom, okay? seek wisdom, and whatever you look for, get understanding. Okay, Proverbs, do it. But sometimes you already have wisdom, and God wants you to be obedient, to have the courage to do what wisdom says. We need people like that right now. Families need that. You already got wisdom. If you're an adult person, you've gained a certain amount of wisdom just by being old. If you're old enough to have your own children, then you have some degree of wisdom already. So use the wisdom. Be faithful with little, and he will give you more. Be faithful with it. Courage is hard, man. Courage is hard. You stick your neck out, and it's scary, and you sometimes question, did I do the right thing? And that's where you need wisdom to make sure you are doing the right thing. But if you already know it, then you just need to do it. These Pharisees are the opposite example. They have a certain amount of wisdom, but it's upside down wisdom because they don't fear God. So they don't have the beginning of wisdom. And as a result of that, the courage that they have is a cowardly kind of courage. It's sneak around and stab him in the back. It's get him in the middle of the night. It's use the Roman soldiers to get him, even though they hate Rome. And Rome hates them. It's all this stuff. It's ugly. And this is what happens when you use wisdom without courage. You will lose the wisdom that you do have. And you will use it backwards and upside down. All right, I hope that makes sense to you. And it will end with Jesus dismissing you. That's what happens. Jesus said, well, I'm not going to tell you what authority I do these things either. And now the one guy that you could go to for real truth, Jesus, is being dismissive of you. That's scary. These guys aren't scared of that. They're more afraid of the people. How can we get him without the people being mad at us? They've dismissed Jesus. They've dismissed John the Baptist. They've dismissed God's spoken word to them, God's incarnate word to them. They've dismissed the miracles. They've become so hard-hearted now that Jesus is now dismissing them. He's going to go do what he's going to do, and they're going to miss it, and they're dismissed. He loved them the whole way. Love your enemies. Bless those that persecute you. Do the right thing. Pray for courage to go with your wisdom. And then do what is right. Have the courage to do it. God bless you. We'll be in chapter 12 tomorrow. Pretty exciting. See you then.